Blog Talk Radio.
On a Monday call. Yes, 5 weeks down, a bunch of weeks to go, and we talking it right here, right now, on the number one radio show. But anyway, hey, it's one of those days. I'm a happy camper as usual. Wow, you know, some good things took place this weekend for me and my team. You know, Las Vegas Showgirls, whoop, whoop. Shout out to my showgirls, whoop, whoop. And, yeah, and shout out to everybody that's on the Ning board. The Ning board, yes, the number one information board for women's tackle football. That's women's tackle football group.ning.com. And what we got in the house, we got my boy Mike B. He's Emerald Berman now, Burmay. We got Bill, we got BJ, got myself, we got Don Jr., that is. We got Food, Jennifer, and we got another Jennifer online. Then we got Coach Jim Golden. We got Mac, M-A-C. We got Tanya, Toya. There we go, Toya Petaway. And then we got Willie Parker, Coach Willie Parker from the Carolinas. You know what I'm saying? The Carolinas, y'all. And I want to welcome y'all to the show because that's what we do, because we do how we do it when we do it, when we got to get it done. You rocking four quarters, Coach Lee. Let's see, what else? I know you guys are over on the Blog Talk Radio. Hey, if you're over there, I want to say what's up. I just can't get over there because, you know, I got the GOV job. That's the government job. The government job won't let me get on the Blog Talk Radio chat, but it lets me get on the Ning board. So that's where I'm at, the Ning board. And for those who are listening in, you know, hey, what's up? You know what you got to do if you want to jump in. Just push pound and one or one pound, and my super duper producer BJ would definitely punch you on in because, you know, like I said, I rock four quarters each and every night. We talk about four different topics for 15-minute quarters, but if you want to jump in and put a fifth quarter in, sixth quarter in, or just a different subject, or just, hey, complaining, or pat me on the back, it don't matter. Go ahead and just push that button and you all in. Like I said, got an exciting show for you this evening. We got quarter number one. We're going to review week five scores. Quarter number two, radio/TV deals, the makings and how it's done. Hopefully I get a phone call, and I put a couple of emails into to the Passion to see if anybody would like to speak on it. But, hey, if they don't, they don't. If you do, they do. If you know a little bit more than I do, then, hey, drop the knowledge, baby. Drop the knowledge. What else? Quarter number three, sorry about that. Forfeits. It's about that time of the season, y'all. Forfeits about to start coming due to economy, due to what, due to whatever. But we'll talk about it, what should and could be done to eliminate forfeits possible. And sometimes there's no solution to a forfeit. It just happens. And then, of course, we got the handy-dandy Ning Board Hot Topics, baby. Yes, we go to the Ning Board, what folks are talking about, and we talk about it a little bit. But, again, that's a backup plan, the Ning Board. You know, if you want to call in and we get to talking and rocking and rolling, we make it happen. Because you're rocking four quarters with Coach Lee, so let me drop my sponsor real quick so we can get this part started. We got Adidas, my Adidas, your Adidas, we Adidas. We all should be rocking Adidas. Why? Because they support this show. Why? Because they support women's football. You just don't know because you ain't been feeling it. We also got Rogers Athletic Company, the official football equipment company of the Women's Tackle Football Camp. Women's Football Camp. You can visit that at womensfootballcamp.com. It's where the good get better. We got Enterprise. Why pick Enterprise? Because they will pick you up. What did I say? They will pick you up. And that's how we do it. You know, we are 20-second fitness. You know what I'm saying? 20-second fitness. You know, if you want to look as good as me, you got to get your 20 seconds on. If you don't get your 20 seconds on, you will never look as good as me. So anyway, I'm in the place to be, your host with the most, Coach Fleely. In the place to be on Monday. Yes, my Lakers are going to be on in about 30 minutes, but you know what? I have time to get into that game a little bit later. Like I said, my show go in and out each and every Monday night, y'all. Just found out my super-duper producer told me I got 96 shows down, and this is show number 97. So 98, 99, 100. So in our next three shows, in 3 weeks from now, we're going to have a special little celebration show of hitting that golden mark of 100. And speaking of 100, before the show started, I want to throw a shout-out to the showgirl's all-time receiver, Carrie Walters. She just got her 100th catch as a Las Vegas showgirl, and it was a nice little there. And like I said, you know, it's about keeping stats. It's about something that you can work on. It's a reservation out there? Yeah. All right. All right. Yeah, no problem. So, yeah, we gave them gave Carrie a nice standing ovation. And like I said, landmark, you know, 100, you know, 100 catches in a career is awesome. And that's just one of the accolades that she has. As a Las Vegas showgirl, she's also the leading tackler, the leading interceptor on the team. Showgirl history with 13, with 240 tackles. She has over 1,800 yards in receiving. She has a total of 26 touchdowns overall. It's just a lot of things that Carrie Walters do, and I definitely want to throw a special shout out to her for the things that she's done for the Las Vegas showgirls. Speaking of another accolade, again, we had our 50th game this past weekend, which we won over the L.A. Amazons. But you know what I'm saying? It's about keeping records. It's about keeping track of what you do as an organization and the things that you can reflect on and go back to and say, hey, this is what you've done with us, and thank you so much for doing it with us. And, you know, most teams, I mean, all the teams should have this. You should have a record. You should have these things. And we talk about that in other shows. But these are the moments that you give your accolades to the young ladies that put in their hard work and dedication to your organization. And it's only beneficial if the organization is keeping track of who's, you know, if it's a top five, if it's a top ten situation. You should be keeping all of that, everybody. But I do list a top ten category. If you go to lvshowgirls.com, go down to the team records, and you will see individual game records, season records, and also career records. And like I said, I hope I set the trend for everybody to do that and put that on your page. It's a good classy touch in the history making of your organization as well. But anyway, for those who want to call in, you can always reach at 347-826-7278. Once again, 347-826-7278. DJ, can you hit a little music for me for about 3 minutes? I need to check on something real quick. Thank you very much. Yes, ladies. There we go. That will be smooth that I'll be able to pass through. And again, everything in here can come out except for this.
BJ, I'm back.
All right. Sorry about that, folks. Like I said, this is a live show. Like I tell you all the time, you know, I try to take care of many things as I can at one particular time. And when people come in, hey, I got to give them some customer service. But anyway, let's get this party started. And it's a deep, deep, deep kick. Haven't had a deep kick this year because my kicker hadn't been able to beyond the 20-yard line. But you know what? Hey, this show is deep because we talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Quarter number one. Let's talk about review. Week 5 review. You know what? I learned my lesson. I ain't going over to the team boards, team websites, because sometimes the information ain't right. Sometimes the information ain't even there. So you know what I do? I go to the number one networking board there is, Women's Tackle group.neem.com, where my boy Mike B is always updating the site with the results and all that other good stuff, because that's what we do. You know what I'm saying? This is a friendly board, and we all get out there and be inquisitive and find out what's going on. I know this week was the first week that I tweeted during my game, and guess what? I lost my phone afterwards because I got a text message about a score. I was like, woo! And I don't know what I did with my phone, but you know what? Hey, that sucks. I just get another phone on Friday. Payday Friday. Oh, well. Here we go. Let's go. WFA final result. Got the Boston Militia 72. Northeastern Nitro 0. We got the New York Sharks 48. New England Nightmare 12. The DCD was 49. Keystone Assault 0. Pittsburgh Passion 17. Columbus Comic 0. And I think that was an ESPN 3 podcast. I haven't checked out and all that other stuff. But hey, I lost out on that. Well, we got the Cleveland, the Erie Illusion 0. We got the Chicago 4, 29, St. Louis Slam, 7. We got the Indy Crash, 77s, the Kentucky Karma, 0. We got the Cincinnati Sizzling Sizzle, 51, Dayton Diamonds, 12. Big ups to the Icky Woods, baby. Got him a win. Love it, love it, love it. We got Toledo Rain, 19, Dark Angel, 6. I think I picked that up. We got the Atlanta Heartbreakers, 23, Carolina Raging Wolves, 14. Jacksonville Dixie Blue, 21, Gulf Coast Riptide, 14. We got the Miami Fury, 32, Tampa Bay Pirates, 0. We got the Kansas City Tribe, 88. We got Nebraska Stampede, 0. We got the Iowa Explosion, 20. Wisconsin Dragons, 0. Minnesota Machines, 27. Wisconsin Bulls, 6. We got the Game of the Week in the WFP, the Diamond, 16. Lone Star Mustangs, 6. I picked the Diamond, but I'm mad because I think the Mustangs, that's the lowest score they scored. And I like having that title, even though I lost to them 8-6 last year. But we had the title keep them to the lowest that they ever scored. But now somebody has outdone us. Well, Power 16, Austin Outlaw 6. We got the New Orleans Blaze 19, Zadiko 0. Come on, Dr. B. I picked you guys. Come on, we got to get it. But I think I got you. Y'all got one this week. Y'all got one this week. Y'all better get one this week, or I'm going to have to come down there and have to coach y'all up. We got the Memphis Whatchamacallums, or the Women's Tackle Football, 66, the Tulsa Eagles, 6. Another game of the week was the San Diego Surge, 82, Pacific Warriors, 0. I told y'all, don't sleep on them Surge, you guys. Y'all need to listen to me. When I tell you something, it's going to happen. It just happens. Hell yeah, don't sleep on the Surge. They're the best in the football right now. Bottom line, point blank, Surge. All right, here we go. Portland, Philly, 12. Spokane, scoring, 0. We got the Bay Area Bandits, 11. Central Cal War Angels, 6. Again, I thought that was going to be a close game, and I think I had the War Angels in that one. I thought they may have had more talent, but not quite sure yet. We got the Arizona Assassins, 47. The San Diego Sting, 6. Come on, Sting. You got to get it going. I had the Assassins, but Sting, come on. You got to get there. We got the Silver State Legacy, 27. SoCal Scorpions, 3. A game that I lost. Hot diggity, 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 dog. But you know what? Hey, the day will come. The day will come. And we play them ourselves, so hey, it'll be an opportunity to bust heads. And then, of course, you got the Las Vegas Showgirls, 16, L.A. Amazons, the route. Hey, new day, new era, Showgirls, new day, new era, first time ever beating the Amazons. Even though we both, you know, started from scratch, hey, like I told you guys, it was a toilet bowl, but we smelled a lot better. So that's how it worked. In the IWFL, we had the New England 27, Manchester Freedom, 7, Memphis Bells, 20, Clarksville Fox, 12. I think I lost that one. I had Rock the Bells, El Cool J. We got the Houston Energy, 44. Monterey Black Mambas, 6. Wisconsin Warriors, 45. Minnesota Vixens, 12. The Madison Cougars, 12. Iowa Crush, 6. Portland Shockwaves, 40. Southern California Breakers, 6. California Quake in the IWFL Game of the Week, 42. Sacramento Sirens, 13. From what I understand or understood, the Sirens were winning 13-8 at the time. So Coach Penn, great job adjusting. That's what we do. Just like on this show, I tell you, we adjust when we got to adjust. We move when we got to move. We got the Montreal Blitz, 40. Maine Rebel, 0. In the WSFL, we got the Cape Fear Thunder, 47. West Virginia Wildfire, 0. Did I say that right? 47-0. My bad. We got Topeka Mudcats, 34. Kansas City Storm, 30. Sound like a great high-scoring game. In Independence, we have Bloomington Tiger Cats, 22. You guys see me? Okay, I'll be with you in a minute. We got Three Rivers Explosion, 8. Interleague action. We have Baltimore Burn 12, New Jersey Justice 8. And that is the updates. That is the updates. And that is the updates. DJ, one more time. Two more minutes on me, and we get to rocking and rolling. All right? Need some music.
Pearls in the demons.
Yeah, Michael, like exactly. All right. All right, I'm back, yo. I'm back. I should have no more interruptions this evening. Again, customer service is what you got to do. Customer service is what you got to be. When you're rocking four quarters of Coach Lee, ain't no other place that you want to be. But anyway, that's my wrap on the review this week. Again, there were some great games this weekend. Again, there were some great wins. And, you know, so much of the complaints that people talk about are the scores. You know what? When teams are just that good, what can you say? You know? When teams are that bad, they're just that bad. So people always ask about the score, you know, but look, it looks the way it looks. It tells you what 1-2-1-2, 1-2-1-2, 1-2-1-2, I'm back at you. 1-2-1-2, is that me? All right, 1-2, I'm on. Sorry about that, you know, cheap phone, I don't know. This ain't even my phone, I'm just calling in on somebody else's phone. So I don't know how this bad boy works. But anyway, I'm back at you. We moved on from quarter number one to quarter number two. Radio and TV deals. I got an email. I forgot from who, but they was like, you know, hey, come see what you know about radio TV deals. And I know a lot about them. One, I was in the industry, too. Games used to be aired here locally on cable network. And like I said, the Pittsburgh Passion for years now have been on Fox Sports. I would say it's Fox Sports Pittsburgh or something like that. And I'm not quite sure their whole deal was, but I pretty much understand the deal because I talked to Sports Fox Sports West here, and the situation is, okay, the bottom line is, yes, you got to have money. It's two things that the network is looking for. Either you have money to buy your 3 hours, or you bring on sponsors that can pay for your 3 hours. Now, I know for sure, now this is talking from me, for me to get local cable here, on the network, access cable, we paid $12,000 for the season to air 4 games. Okay, we paid $12,000 and the station went out and got sponsors for the commercials and everything. So they made out like bandits. They got $12,000 from us plus they whatever money they made on commercial spots. But within that $12,000 I was able to get, you know, weekly advertisement on CBS here, where they can cut into CBS stations like your local commercials, and we were able to get sliced in to the local commercials on CBS and ESPN and a few other networks for the $12,000. So it was really worth it. But the other end of the deal was we had to pay for our own production of the actual games. So we paid $12,000 to be on the air, buy our time, and get us some commercials, and we wind up paying $15,000 per production. So in essence, we spent $72,000 in 2007. We weren't that good. We wound up being 2-6 that year. But for home games, we paid $72,000 out of our pocket to be aired here locally. And we did get nominated for original programming, which was a great situation, but we averaged on the replays anywhere between 25 to 30,000 people watched our game in 2007. And mind you, we were 2-6, so it probably wasn't the best time to do it. We should have did it in 2009 when we were undefeated. We should have did it in 2010. But again, to get people to know about us, that's what we had to do. So people want to know, what does it take to get on? All right, so that was what I spent to be on regional cable, all right? When I talked to my boys over at Fox Sports West, and I talked to people at the Versus, I've also talked to people at the NFL Network, because I do have a few connections at the NFL Network. This is what was given to me. For Versus, for instance, Versus wanted them to do the championship game for the WFA last year. The deal was $45,000. It will be on late at night. I think it was air and tape delayed at 10 p.m. West Coast time, which means it was going to be 1 a.m. East Coast time. They wanted $45,000. And, again, they would get the sponsors to pay for the commercials and all that. So that's what they would do. So they made money off of us and then off of selling the ad spots. For Fox Sports, and that was just for one game, and because their household was a lot bigger than, say, it wasn't as big as ESPN, not even close to ESPN numbers, but again, it's a sports, all sports network 24/7, and they had some outrageous numbers of their viewership, so it all depends on if it's worth it or not. Fox Sports West, the deal with Fox Sports West was going to be $15,000 a game for them to do our games last year. And once again, they would get the money for the sponsorship. they'll be responsible for going out and selling the ad space, because that's how they make their money. That's how the people in the marketing department make their money, by selling ads, or the sales team. So, again, it costs money to get exposure. And like I said, Fox Sports West, I think there's over 2.5 million viewers on Fox Sports West, because it's like three states for Fox Sports West is Las Vegas, California, and Hawaii. Those are the three states that it reaches out to. So for those who watch Laker games, Prime Ticket, that's what it is. So you're talking about 15 grand. So you're looking at it would have cost us, again, another $60,000 to do it through Fox Sports West, and they would get it live, and we would have to pay for production. So it was almost...
This is Dion speaking. Hey! Hey! I love that music. But anyway, I am back. Yes, I know. T-Mobile sucks. That's just the worst phone ever. And it's a pink phone, too, so it's a girly phone. Oops, did I say that? Yes, I did. But anyway, moving on. I was talking about the cost. You know, what it costs to be the boss, to do what you got to do in... to be on. Again, we had a $72,000 situation that we did in 2007. We had a $60,000 situation with Fox Sports West in 2009. And then in 2010, I was trying to at least do the national championship game on Versus. And that was very expensive for a one-time show, but it would have been super late. And then it would have, then they owned the rights to replay. So, again, you sign over waivers to give them the rights. No different than what we did with the NFL Network and the ESPN piece. Everybody that participated in it signed over their rights to be viewed or be seen on TV. And they can go out and make money off of you. So how much so do you want to sell is basically what was on the line. Okay, you give up all your rights. And see, as a TV producer, I'm getting you out to go produce your own show. You're giving me that video, okay, or your game, and then I get to air my commercials. The most famous story of a network built like that was BET, Black Entertainment Television. I got a chance to work with Mr. Johnson himself. I was on the expansion plan for BET back in 1990-91. I created a thing called BET on Wheels, where it was an 18-wheeler truck. The backstage converted into a full-fledged stage, like a Robotron or Transformers. You just push a button and it opened up, and we had live concerts in the park. And what we wind up doing was having all the artists go on the road with us, and we do free concerts, you know, at a park, at a school, or whatever, and have 4,000 or 5,000 people there to see major artists, and then come back and follow up with a campaign. We want our BET, just like MTV. We want our MTV. We want our BET, and then we go to cable operators and say, "Hey, all these people are Comcast or whatever cable people. They're going to drop cable if you don't add BET to it." So, long story short, the bottom line is supply and demand. But when I was sitting in the office with Johnson, this is before I went over to Fox Network for In Living Color and some other things that I worked on as a promoter and producer of shows, Bob Johnson told me that he started this company with $15,000, and the record companies go out and make videos, okay? You go out and make that $100,000 video, that $1 million video, whatever, and then you send it free to MTV to get it played. Well, MTV make their money off of what? Commercials. What does BET make their money off of? Commercials. So they got free product from those music videos and made their money off of commercials by airing it. Now, those cable networks don't even do videos anymore. They don't even do video countdown and stuff like that. So now they're into original production, which costs money on their part. That's why it's a lot of reality shows, because they don't have to pay the people that much money for their 15 minutes of fame, if you get what I'm saying. I know I'm going around a whole loop, but I'm trying to educate you. Because that's what I do, Four Quarters with Coach Lee, is education, baby. That's what I do, Four Quarters with Coach Lee, is education, baby. But anyway, so again, so now, the situation is this. From my understanding with the Pittsburgh Passion, and like I said, don't quote me, I probably got about 98% of it correct. What wound up happening was somebody from the network went to the actual game and actually saw it, the game, who worked for the local cable company. They cut a deal with Fox Sports and the Passion, okay? And everybody made money off of it except the Passion. Passion, you give me the end results, which is the video. The cable operator, say Comcast or whatever your local cable company is, bought into it. They sponsored it. And then they sold it off to Fox Sports Pittsburgh or whatever. That's pretty much how the deal went down. Now, I don't know how much money the Passion have put into it. Don't know. I'm just trying to give you a scenario how it could and went down because of the things that I know about production and original programming. I don't know much about ESPN3. I just know it's an internet site. And I'm pretty sure they're working on the same mechanisms. You know, we'll provide this, you give us that. It might even cost to be on there. I don't know it. But in this business, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And sometimes it's not even who you know, it's how much money you got. How much are you willing to spend to promote? And this is where I have talked over the last 5 years about, you know, okay, collect all the money from as a league. Collect the money, okay? Take care of the necessities, insurance, BOF. The next thing that should be done should be some kind of national campaign, be it a commercial, you know, be it that it's the AAA league. And what you do is you wind up making a national commercial for all the teams and including all the teams, you know, flashing their logos in and out the background or whatever and talking about women's football. And then from there, go to your local cable companies and pay $10 to air that. You know, each team spends $500 of their league fees, goes back to airing those commercials. I mean, it's a whole bunch of things that can be done. But you got to pique the interest of the executives at the television stations. You know, it's no different. No different than what we did with the NFL Network situation. The piece on Las Vegas Showgirls. It had to be a very interesting story dealing with football. And we sat down and we talked about it, me and the producer. And I pretty much gave him the guidelines of what we're looking for. It wasn't a piece on me. It was a piece about the story of just about every woman out here who wanted to play football. So it was very interesting. And then the product itself was good football. And that's what they want. But again, it takes money to make money. And that's what a lot of us don't understand. We're hobbyists. We're not professionals. We don't have the bankroll. You know, we're not millionaires. So when you're a hobbyist, you're going to get a hobbyist mentality. When you're a hustler, you're going to get a hustler mentality. You know, you're going to get one sponsor to take care of this, to take care of that. You know, if you go out there and sell, you know, $100,000 in sponsors, you know, to air it, you can get your whole season done. It's how motivated are you to get it done. There is a way. There is a, you know, if there's a will, there's a way. And like I said, I just gave you the breakdown. You're looking at about $15,000 minimum per production for your game, as much as $35,000, anywhere between $15,000 and $35,000 per game to get it aired, at least on a regional network. Okay, so you got to get out there, knock it out. Again, I wish I had some other callers that knew as much, if not more. But again, I've knocked on them doors. I know what it's all about. And yes, we got to get on TV. It's going to take, you know, us being on TV. You know, that's what Lingerie League. Everybody think the Lingerie League just came out of nowhere. Lingerie League been around just as long as any of these leagues lately. Every halftime since 1998, there's been a lingerie game. But it was on pay-per-view. And when MTV saw the pay-per-view numbers, they wanted to jump into that. And MTV is a sleazy type of television anyway, you know, reality TV, real world, you know, my baby, mama, mama's daddy, is my sister, you know, Jerry Springer type of stuff. Hey, we got an 813 on the line. Go ahead, BJ, put 813 in. This is 813. This is Coach Lee. What's up?
Hi, Coach Lee. How you doing?
I'm all right. Who am I speaking with?
This is Ella Coffey from the Tampa Bay Pirates.
Pirates, whoop, whoop.
Yes, the Pirates. First of all, I want to thank you for the information that you're giving out this evening on sponsorship, because that's definitely something that we need in women's football. Being in the Tampa Bay market, though, and with you being in the market, I'm sure you know, the Tampa Bay market is probably the third most expensive market in the U.S., so it's hard for us to even attempt to get that type of exposure on TV. It really is hard for us. But some of the things that you're talking about this evening is great information for teams that are established and have some of the backing, have some of the money, because, you know, if you can afford to fork out $25,000 in advertising, then advertising is wonderful on TV. I mean, you know, best way to advertise to be on TV if you have that type of money to fork into advertising. I would advise to put it into having your games on the on TV and driving out more fans, because that's what's really going to kind of take us into that next step when it comes to women's football.
Definitely.
So thanks
that.
For those evening and trying to encourage folks to do that, because we do need to do that. It is about exposure. You're right. The Lingerie League has been around. It was about pay-per-view. And the money that was being made there, and that's exactly what took place. I remember when the Lingerie League first came out, and that's what took place.
Yeah, it was definitely the sale. You know, again, just like record sales, you know, if you're an independent artist, if you make a name for yourself at home and you sell 20,000 units in Tampa Bay area, then the national distributors are going to come to you and say, wow, you know, Ludacris did this out in Atlanta. You know, he sold 40,000 units out of his trunk. And then all the big labels came to him. So you got to go out there and make noise in your own backyard before anybody else come and pull you up and say, let's go national with this thing.
Exactly. You do. You've got to create the audience before the major folks are going to come to you. So that is very true. Wanted to talk a little bit. Also, I heard the first quarter scores and so forth, but I wanted to talk a little bit about just the South and some of the football. And Florida has 2-4-6 teams, actually, and some great football down here in Florida. We have some teams that have been established for a while, playing at least 10 years together. So we have some establishment down here, but, you know, we still don't have the support. And I'm just wondering if it's maybe because we are in the South, do you think that's why? We're not having the support, because Jacksonville, their team has been together
Mm-hmm.
At least 9 years. Miami's been around probably 7 years, this one particular team, 7 years, and they had a team before, and I think maybe they were out of the league, out of any of the leagues for maybe about a year. But nonetheless, mm-hmm. what do you think it is that's happening here in Florida that we're just kind of not getting that exposure?
Well, you're in the number, what, three football market in the country. Florida, Texas, and California are the three top national states where recruits come from colleges, basically. So you're in the
right.
SEC zone. It's the same. I was just reading an article about exposure. It's not that you haven't done anything over the 10 years. It's the fact that women's sports is in the same boat all the way across, you know. It's just you guys
okay.
got to keep pounding and keep recruiting the best athletes out there. And like I said, getting exposure is just a matter of, again, do you got to go national with it? No. You know, you can do public access TV to air your games.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to air your games live. What we did, we filmed the game on Saturday night, and we aired them on Tuesday night. We made it Tuesday night football. And what wound up happening was the high schoolers out here saw that, the high school district saw us
mm-hmm.
do it, and now they have Thursday night lights here in Vegas. With like the Channel 33, which is like my Fox, I mean not my Fox, but my something TV. I don't even watch TV
right.
anymore. But
right.
it's one of those offshoot, you know, still a national situation. They have Buffy the Vampire and all that other stuff come on that station. But I'm just saying, we help create that. And the same thing that can happen in your market. It's cheaper, it's easier to do, and you just got to find a production camera crew to come out there and do it professionally with announcers and make it the best that you can, you know. Because I think in your area, if all the Florida teams were playing each other, and this is why I've always preached about, you know, just being under one roof as far as leagues
right.
are concerned, or at least having us play interleague play where we can play all the teams in the Florida area. Because we got to create the backyard feeling. Hey, this is going on in Tallahassee, Quincy, you know, Miami, Jacksonville. You got to make it a rival situation. It's no different than Florida State. You know,
right,
you want people
right.
to pick sides. And if you guys are in the league and you can't play the teams locally, and you got to play teams in Atlanta, Texas, and you know, we ain't traveling that deep. You want people that can travel an hour and a half, 3 hours, you know, to go see you play. You got to create rivalry. You got to be the best in Florida. You know, you got to make it just like your high school. Your high school was, what, 5-10 miles away from your rival high school. Yo, you go to that school. But when we play each other, the whole town shuts down. You know, that's what got to be created in your area. No different than here in Las Vegas. I asked for a team to come in town. Didn't know that my whole team was going to go and go play for the team. But you know what? I still create the rivalry because I went out and still recruited 40 more players, you know? So that's the big deal. You got to create the rivalry to get the support. And like I said, you guys got teams that have been established for a long time, and that's great, but you guys haven't been playing each other. You haven't been playing each other. You're playing other people from towns far away. Well, nobody's interested in that. You want to beat your cousins. You want to beat your second cousins that live in the north part of Florida, you know? That's what makes it fun and family-like. So that would be my best advice. Get on TV, get on local TV. Because if you get on local TV, all the girls that are local are going to come see you. You need to go to the colleges. You guys got a massive number of colleges out there in Florida close together. You know, the A&Ms and the internationals and all the other stuff. And recruit the best athletes from there and create this feeling. You know, here in Las Vegas, I have one university. There's only two universities in the whole state of Nevada. And they're 600 miles apart. So we can't even create rivalry from Las Vegas to Reno because it's just a 8-hour drive, 9-hour drive. So I know I get to talking, I get to rocking and rolling, but I hope I answered your question. BJ, am I still on? Okay.
You're
here? I guess, yeah. I'm here. You still there?
Yes, I am. I had lost you, and I called back in. Yes, you did answer
okay.
my question. I appreciate it. We're gonna work hard on it here in Florida because, like I said, the teams have been around a while and don't seem like we're going anywhere. And
kind of excited. I've been doing this 10 years myself, so I'm kind of excited about it.
Yeah, I've been doing this is my seventh year, sixth year actually in the league, but it took me a year to get things up and rolling. But
mm-hmm.
we also got to get together, and I know you're my rival, but we got to do some things together, be it football camps and have each other, you know, five members from each team, and we do one big girls clinic and camp as teams and not be such a, yes, please, extend the show.
I agree.
You know,
I look forward to it.
Right. It's no different than joining a sorority. When you go to a college campus, they have a rush. What do they
exactly.
do at rush? All the sororities sit up there on this panel, and they get to explain what their organization is about with all the potential sorority girls. And then afterwards, you get to come to the table, grab information, and then you get to make a decision on who you're going to rush. It's the same thing here when you have multiple teams in close areas. You know, you got to act like you're together for a minute, but you know you better
exactly.
than the other team, and your presentation need to be up to point. You know,
exactly.
your literature need to be up to point. You know, your film footage, your stats, you know, the history, the whole thing. That's what sells.
Very
That's
true.
What sells.
Very
so
true.
I got a gang of ideas. That's why I do this show. That's why I'm almost on the 100th show, because this is all I do, sit here and think. I'm a marketing guy. That's all I do. I'm a coach. I'm a strategist. I'm a chess player. I play checkers. I'm a Monopoly. I mean, board games. They're just mind games. So anyway, is there anything else that Coach Lee can talk about that you want to talk about? Any questions real quick before we move on?
I don't think any questions. I really look forward to it. I've been listening to your show now a couple weeks here, and I look forward to continuing and speaking with you. We'll talk, I guess, maybe game as the weeks go on now. We'll talk about games. Miami's game this week was actually very enjoyable for us. Miami
okay.
scored 24 points in the first quarter. And then we shut them down. And actually, they didn't run the ball on us. They didn't move the ball on us. They were passes that we just got caught out of place.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, scored 24 in the first quarter. And the last 3 minutes of the game, they scored the last touchdown. It was really a great game, though. I mean, we had some hiccups along the way, but we actually look forward to playing Miami. Each year I've been in probably every league available except for the NWFA, but other than that, we've been in every other league, so we've seen Miami before. So it was good. It was both teams actually came out of that game learning something, and that's what it's about, to enjoy the game at that time and learn and move on.
Definitely that. So, again, you can help by, you know, spreading the word about the show. You can help spread the word about the Ning Board. I don't know if you're a member of the Women's Taco Football Group Ning Board, but, again, that's another place. That's another place where there's a lot of information that you can bring to the table, and that's what we need to do. We need to elevate everybody, you know, not just the showgirls, not just the Pirates, you know. If we got something that we can bring to the table, let's share it with everybody. So if it's good for you, it's good for me. You know.
There you go. I'm Cap 57 on there, so I am on board.
Okay. All right. Well, choo choo. All right, you guys. All right. Again, you got it. Again, we got 813. Like I said, folks, hey, that's what this show is about. If you want to call in and just, you know, drop some knowledge or express some things or whatever, that's what this show is all about. It's no different than the Ning Board. You know, I do have a format that I like to follow as far as, you know, at least talking about topics. But, you know, my show is your show. What you need to hear about or what you want to learn about, that's what you do. So dial in 347-826-7278, press 1 and pound, and booyah, BJ is going to put you in the house. And like I said, she's going to extend the show a little bit. So let me just wrap it up on quarter number two, since we're almost done with the show and I go into the other things. But again, radio is the same way. ESPN here has time that you can buy. But again, you got to be able to spend what they're willing to get. You know, you got to spend what they're willing to get with some other type of shows. Until you're major league, then they will pay you. See, because everybody thinks that these companies pay you to put your stuff out there. This ain't the NFL. This ain't the NBA. This ain't hockey. They ain't offering us no money. We ain't got nothing to sell. We don't have 40,000-50,000 people weekly at our games. We just don't. And that's how they make their money, just like these internet sites. You know, Facebook is worth billions of dollars. It's not because it's just there. It's because they got millions of people on the site, and that's why you get the pop-ups. Those companies pay money to be on there. You can pay money for your event to get some exposure. That's how you make money. You know what I'm saying? So, again, you got to spend money. You got to make money. Okay? You got to go get money. You can go to Ford Motor Company or a car dealership. They got to do commercials anyway. Say, hey, we're going to be on cable access. I can get you 40 commercials for the price of 2 commercials on that station. Make it make sense. That's what you got to do. In order to get on radio, TV, those are the deals you got to cut. Again, this could be a whole show. Again, this is what we talked about at the Women's Football Camp and Conference, you guys. This is exactly what we talked about, and it's not me speaking on it. This is professionals who are in the industry who talk about how they got the deals, how you can get the deals. We got people from ESPN. We have people from bowl games. We have people who were talking about sponsorships and how to present your package and who to send it to and what they're looking for. Again, ladies and gentlemen, this is what we do. But again, if you're not willing to spend time, if you're not willing to spend money on knowledge, then you're in the wrong business. You know, you go from a free education from K-1 to 12, but then when they're talking about college, you don't want to pay. Well, who's the dummy in that case? You got to pay for higher education. You got to pay for higher education. Did I say it again? You got to pay money for higher education and for knowledge. So that's where you got to go. That's where you got to be. You rocking Four Quarters Culturally. It is moving up to the 8 o'clock hour, but we have extended it for about another 15 minutes. So let's move on. If there's nobody on the line, BJ, I am going to move on. Like I said, I am going to move on. Let's go. Quarter number three. Quarter number three, forfeits. There has been many forfeits out there. And like I said, I said this about 4 months ago. There's teams out there that knew that they didn't have the numbers, the players, the money, but still pride held on. And, you know, there's some teams that was suited up with 30 to 40 people. You have some people quit. You have some people get hurt. And that's understood. And you're down in numbers. You're down to 22. You're down to 24. You know, hell, my boys, the LA Amazons, they were down. I think they suited up 19 to 20. And they had two more go down in our game. You know, we started off with 40. Then we got down to about 32 before this first game. Then we had four more get hurt. We down to 24. You know, just that's what happens. And it tends to happen with new players, with a lot of rookies, because they don't understand the strain that the body's going to go through. You know, some of them don't know the difference between being hurt and being injured. You know, being hurt and being injured. We got another caller out there. We got 919. 919, you with Coach Lee. What's up?
What's going on, Coach?
All right. Who are we speaking with?
This is Willie Parker.
Willie Parker. Not the Pittsburgh Steelers running back, but the Carolina Phoenix coach, baby. What's happening, Coach?
I got a question. Now, the way it's handled with leagues, do they normally take a forfeit fees when you come into a league, or how does that work with the forfeits? I mean, as far as any type of repercussions for teams that just come in knowing that, you know, they know what their bank account looks like.
Yeah.
Or what their resources are.
Well, my experience with the WPFL when I first came in, our fees were like $7,500 a year. And then if you were a new team, you had to put up another $2,500 forfeit bond. So if you forfeited, at least that following team got to make up the difference in their loss, you know, at least pay for the high school or the field or whatever. But, no, there's no league out there that can enforce anything outside of what they got from you as league fees. And like I said, the reality is there is nobody who got money from the get-go. We're all struggling owners. We're all self-owned teams or team-owned teams who are just making ends meet. And the bottom line is everybody need to get some money. But there's nothing that you can enforce. You know, if I borrow $500 from you and 2 weeks later you want it and I'm in Vegas and you in Carolina, what you going to do about it?
This is true.
You're going to keep calling me and bugging me. I'm like, dog, I got it. It's coming. Matter of fact, I just sent a check out. Oops, it's in the mail. Oops, here's my credit card. And then it gets denied. Well, you know what? That was my mama's fault. It was in her name.
So what do you see as a way to reduce this or even eliminate it at this point? Or do you just say we're just going through the growing pains of being leagued and it'll stop?
We're going through the growing pains of being a league. And, you know, what's going to have to happen is the league's going to have to follow up. You know, we all have representatives, you know, regional reps and all this other stuff. But the money that's being brought into the league's got to be spent on making sure that those teams do exist, that somebody has to physically go out there and check up on these teams. I've been in meetings where teams made presentations and said, you know what, yeah, we're going to get 40, 60, 80 girls, because I've been that person, you know, to present to a league when I first started. But I know me, you know, I'm a hustler. I know how to get out there and promote. But then there was others that came to the table who thought they could be like me, per se, and went out there and, you know, 6 months passed and they only got two girls because they had to try out, you know, once every 3 months, not realizing that you got to have a major tryout and then keep it going week in and week out, at least one day a week once you get it started. Because you got to keep those girls happy, excited about playing football. You can't see them, okay, you come out and pay $25 to try out and then you don't see them again for 3 months. They're going to change their mind. Things happen. You know, you got to keep the flow going. But you got to have somebody physically go out there. Because, again, I can put together a list of names on a piece of paper and say, yeah, these are all the girls that tried out for my team, you know. But they're not even nowhere to be around. You know, nowhere to be around.
So that's normally how it's done now. It's just when you come into the league, you just, you know, just give them your roster and on from there.
Yep. That's what happens. I mean, and like I said, I could have had a great interest, but those are just warm bodies. That could have been my wife's friends, her cousins and relatives, just to fill out a 25-person roster because that's what the leagues are asking for. I can name 25 girlfriends I got, you know, or friends, and put them on here when I make my presentation. Yeah, we have a team. But do they have equipment? Do they have, you know, uniforms? There's nobody doing a physical check until week one when you show up, you know, and that's what that hurts the game more than anything. Which one has my keys? Damar. Yeah. That's what hurt the game is when you forfeit because you don't have the bodies or the money. That's what kills. It kills. And you don't know until Friday before your game. I've been in a situation, my very first game, our field got canceled on us. And SoCal Scorpions were coming in town. I had to find a field within 48 hours. I signed a dotted line on Friday at 4 p.m. to have the game on Saturday at 6 p.m. You know, so it's some funny things that do happen that are legit, like I said. But there's some people that, you know, that we all know that have been talking about teams and teams year in and year out and have these far-sight dreams of when I win the lottery, I'm gonna invite the Vegas Showgirls and the Phoenix and the Dallas Diamonds into my new league that I'm going to start. Once I win the lottery. Well, if you got to win the lottery, you definitely can't run no team because you ain't got no money, you know.
Yeah.
So, again, it's just getting somebody physically out there to actually see these teams and stop trying to make your league the biggest, you know, by just names. Anybody can come up with names, you know, as far as, you know, the Las Vegas Tumbleweeds is a new team that's going to be starting up. And then you're just taking on the fact that a player is starting it up, but not realize they don't have the backing. All righty. They don't have the backing or anything to get it done.
Sure.
You know?
So what are the presentations like when new teams come into a league? I mean, is it where the current teams are there and you're voting on this new team coming in, or is it just a higher up to the league's decision? And they say, okay, you're in, or, you know, do you bring your financial standing with you, proving it?
Well, like I said, I got to go back to the league that I joined the very first time was WPFL. The WPFL was probably the most solid league at the time in 2006 as far as having this stuff together. And what you had to do is you had to fly in to a league meeting and make a presentation, do your whatever you got to do to sell yourself and your dream to all the other existing teams. You know, I was there with a line of credit, $50,000 line of credit in Las Vegas Showgirls LLC, because I went about this as a business. So I came there. I had six or seven houses that if anything went wrong, I'll sell one. You know, I had a backup plan to show them that I'm going to make this work no matter what. So then you leave the room after your presentation, which was 30 to 45 minutes. It'll go around the room, and everybody has their concerns. They talk about it, be it 5 minutes, be it an hour. And then they come to a vote, and then you either in or you're out. The latest leagues that I've been in, it's just a matter of a phone call to the higher-ups, and it was based on that decision. You know, that looks good in our league by having another team here, you know, not knowing what the situation is, not knowing who the ownership is, not knowing what kind of money they got, knowing if they got girls, knowing if they got coaches, knowing if they, I mean, just a phone call. I know in the WFA we try to do a little bit better, which we have regional reps. You know, my job as a regional rep is to talk to someone like yourself who you're going to call and stay in contact with me. Hey, Dion, I want to start a team. Okay. And it's my job to give you a whole rundown list and say, hey, do you have this in place? Do you have this in place? Do you have this in place? It's my job to see if you got that in place. It's my job to give you a marketing plan. It's my job to help you get exposure. And then at that point in time, it's up to the league to say yay or nay, you know, to charter yourself in or whatever. But as a regional rep, it's my job to make sure that Willie Parker's on the up and up, that I do my research, because you're going to make me look bad. If you ain't going to come through with what we talked about, I look bad. You know, my judgment of character is bad if you're screwing me. You know, so I'm not going to give you the thumbs up if I don't think you got it all. And that's what it takes. Now, am I physically out there? No, but I'm on the phone. I'm on Facebook. I'm on the Ning board. I'm doing my research. I'm finding out more and more about you. You know, I'm giving you clues on how to get on the news. You know, I want to see your tryout. I want to see if you're getting footage. You know, no different than hooking up with the Blitz when the Blitz started out in Utah. No different than the Jinx who came out from the Blitz started. You know, I'm not afraid to give my information away. You know, too, because it's going to help benefit me, because I'm in the middle of the desert. I need teams in and around me as well. So it is my job to go out and seek these teams. I've even suggested that, hey, you know, if me, another LA team and the San Diego team put a team in northern Arizona and got the Arizona team, and we all got a van full of our own players and held a tryout in, say, northern Arizona, which is about 3 hours in each direction from all of us, and we all showed up and set up a situation, we got 30 players that know how to play football that we can conduct a football tryout, even if we only have 5 players show up from that area. But we have our girls try out too. And the local news is saying, hey, look at this. They got 40 girls that came out, even though 35 of us came from different states and different areas. You got to create the hype, you know. And a lot of people are good at creating hype with name, but ain't coming through with the substance, which is the football team, the coaches, the money, and all that other good stuff.
Okay. I got one last question. I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer.
You just like a coach. One last play, but go ahead.
My last question is basically the way that the playoffs run or strength of schedule plays in. Now, with these forfeits, the way that's, you know, some teams are having to go through them, how do you feel like this should or should not affect them?
What, affect the teams?
Just affect the teams as far as playoffs is concerned. And you know, because you could have some situations where team might have some forfeits or you know,
mm-hmm.
And then they end up, as far as one having to travel or getting home games, and, you know, they're
right.
A pretty, really good team. I just want to know how you think it should affect them, or should adjustments be made because of those?
It's kind of hard to say who's a better team if going to playoffs, but we all know that a forfeit equals a win for the team that is there and surviving. It hurts the league. It hurts the division. It hurts the competition. And whatever systems that the league has in place as far as what a forfeit counts. I know in some leagues it's a 2-0 win. In some leagues they have a 40-0 blowout rule. So do it count as 2-0 for that game, or do it count 40-0 because you got other teams that are fighting it out as well? you know, the biggest issue, going back to your earlier question, is what is done about the teams that forfeit. Normally the teams that wind up having forfeits usually quit for the whole season and then jump to another league. And, of course, another league jumps on them because, hey, they're a good name, they're a name, and it adds to making their league bigger and better, okay, oh, on paper by having these teams, paper teams, as I call them. And so those teams wind up jumping leagues to leagues to leagues to leagues based on them not being able to finish the season. And, again, we're not good characters of character, and we allow them to continue to come into different leagues knowing the history, okay. But as far as the playoffs are concerned, it's a win. It's no different than if you won, you know, 40-0 or 6-0. It's a win is a win. And I know your situation there with the Phoenix, that you guys might be having a forfeit this weekend. Not quite sure. Again, I just do my research. I'm all over Facebook. I'm doing whatever. I see people pissed off and mad and all this other stuff. I know you guys didn't have a game early in the season. And, you know, it's not good on the game. And it's not good for a team like you guys who are good.
I'm just talking in general. I'm not talking about us. I mean, in general, period, how, you know, strength of schedule, things like that are affected. That's, you know.
But, you know, strength of schedule sucks because each team is different each and every year. You know what I'm saying? So just because you were good last year or they were good in the past don't mean they're going to be good this year. I'm a living proof and example of that. In name, the Showgirls is stuff. But on the field, we're a bunch of rookies. So just because you play in the Showgirls don't mean you should have a stronger schedule than somebody else, because we're weaker than the weakest, basically. You know, so strength of schedule shouldn't have nothing to do with it, because we don't know what the rosters are. We don't know the roster from until a week before the season. You know, so how do we know how strong a roster is? And then are they playing well this year? You know, if one of the players get hurt, that whole team falls apart, you know, because the quarterback is the best athlete. Yeah, and my man Bill said there's too many inconsistencies from year to year to even go strength of schedule. It should just be straight up wins. It's not strength of schedule. It should be just straight up wins.
So that should not even be a factor, right?
That shouldn't even be a factor because, again, you guys are super strong this year. Don't mean you were super strong last year, and they could have put you guys as weaklings. You know, like I said, nobody can pick that. A good example will be here on the West Coast, San Diego Surge. Well, they're a new team in name, but I want to say across the board, the average player on their team has played anywhere between 5 to 7 years. But nobody knows that. They just say, who's the San Diego Surge? Well, they're kicking everybody's ass right now. They're averaging 80 points a game, 80 points in 3 games. You know, and they played the so-called power teams from the year before last, the L.A. Amazons, the Las Vegas Showgirls, the Pacific Warriors they just beat. So strength of schedule don't mean crap. It's just you just got to go straight up with the win, win or lose.
That's
and then common opponent. Yeah, and then common opponents, and then whatever the other tiebreaker would be.
Well, I appreciate you answering that for me. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to listen to the rest of the show, man. Thank you.
All righty. No problem, no problem. Again, that's my boy Willie Parker out in the Carolinas. You know, like I said, we just drop knowledge. Hey, I stop in the middle of my show to talk about any and everything that anybody want to talk about. I don't care what my four quarters say. I just love talking. And like I said, I feed off of you. You got a question, I got an answer. It might not be the answer you want to hear, but it's the answer. That's the reality of what it is, because I'm real. I'm going to tell you straight up how it is and how it's going down. But, again, forfeits are not good for anybody. You know, that's worse than blowout games. And I had a situation last year where we had a team over from Mexico that was breaking up and doing whatever, whatever. You know, the bottom line is you got to make those away games. Same thing with the San Diego Sting last year. You know, they were hurting in numbers. And all I told them was, look, don't worry about your home games because that's your loss. But you gotta travel to the away games because it's too much to be lost. You know, that not only do that team lose out on the game, but they lose out on the money and on the field, you know. So if you are going to forfeit your home games. Forfeit your home games. But, again, that goes back to the league. What do you have in place that determines how much money a team has? Because 90% of all forfeits is due to money. It ain't due to the players. And if it is due to the players, it's because the team don't have the money for the players or from the players. You know, been in that situation. But again, I come out of pocket. That's where I'm different than everybody else. You can ask my last group of girls. Everybody didn't pay their fees. Everybody didn't pay. But you know what? The season went on. Did we have to cut back from driving the luxury buses? Yes. We went to convenient vans because quite a few people came up short. And that's just the reality of life, the economy, everything. It's just not the right time to be starting something from scratch. Like I tell everybody, to run a women's football team is like a mini college. It's anywhere between $35,000 to $100,000 budget to put on 8 games. Now, if you got connections and can get a free field, that cuts down a few. I think I put on the show, I'm not quite sure it was, but I did a breakdown of what it costs to run a real football team. And there was bottom basic line stuff. Bottom basic line stuff, you know. So people come into this as a hobbyist thinking, oh, well, yeah, I can get it. And then there's some teams that charge $1,000 per player. Hey, we got 40 players. We're going to get $40,000 off of this thing to get us going. Well, everybody ain't got $1,000 to pay to play. They ain't got extra money to buy equipment. You know what I'm saying? So this is real. How real you want it to be, from advertisement to even just finishing the season. But again, leagues must do some more research, must get involved a little bit more into what's going on. BJ, give me 1 minute. I need to clock out real quick. You know, I'm on that Kronos. Kronos is killing me. So let me clock out real quick, and I'm on a land phone, and I'm going to run right back. 60 seconds, y'all. 4 quarters of Coach Lee. I'll be right back. All righty, I'm back. Anybody got the score to the Lakers game? You know, my Lakers got to do what they do. But anyway, forfeits. Again, it's not good. It's not great. But we definitely got to deal with it because it's a piece of cake. And I feel for the teams. I've pushed games back from teams that had issues. You got to be able to work with each other. To get over that forfeit hump. But that's part of having the preseason games, the preseason little tournaments, you know, gathering the 4 or 5 teams in your area, because you get a chance to see what you got. You get a chance to see what other teams have, not only just plays they run, but can you really make it through the season? I know this past game, our girls were going down like flies. The Amazon girls were going down like flies. We had a couple players that got hurt. Amazon's had a couple players that were injured. Like I said, the difference between hurt and injured is, yeah, it hurts, but you can still play. And injured means you out. So you got to stack up. You got to stack up. And that's where experience come in. You know, you got to teach these ladies how to fall. You got to teach them, you know, how to run and do all those things. Freak accidents do happen. But I think right now a lot of teams are forfeiting not just because of numbers, but because of dollars. So I am going to move on, BJ. I am going to move on. There is really no hot topics on the Ning board at this second. And, you know, this was a great show tonight. Like I said, we can talk all night if we had to. Again, it only takes 1 or 2 phone calls to come in, and we can extend the show for another 30 minutes just because it's some great questions out there. And like I said, it feels good when you get a phone call and people have questions for you. You know, it feels good to be on a Ning board and be able to express express what a topic should be, because I love talking about things. You know, I'm not saying I'm the master of all, jack of all trades, master of most. And like I said, I just got experience. I've been here. You know, just like my grandfather tell me, boy, you ain't seen nothing. I've been here two times longer than you have. And for some of you football fans and players, I've been around football probably about three, four times as old as you are, or as much as you are. Again, for those who don't know my background, I came out the womb in the film room. You know, my dad, my stepdad is a football coach. Went to University of New Mexico. You know, coached high school ball. Coached me up. I've always wanted to be a coach. Nothing more than just a coach. I played ball, did all these other good things. I was a marketing guru for the music industry. I was a top recruiter for my university. I was the one hosting all these players. You know, the Terrell Davis, the Mark Says, the Jay Walkers, the Mike McCoys. And these are the guys that went to the NFL that I helped convince come to a school called Long Beach State. So, again, we're like a fourth-tier school compared to USC and UCLA, but we were able to get those type of players. So it takes someone who can move and shake and bake and do those things to make things happen. You know, I was coached by legendary George Allen, Hall of Fame Willie Brown, Harvey Hyde, who I had on this show. Matter of fact, my second show had Harvey Hyde on here. I got connections. University of San Diego head coach Rocky Long, who's been in college football for the last 50 years, you know, is a good friend of mine. Again, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And that's how I get this information. I pick up the sporting news. I pick up ESPN. I know what's going on. I know what the review journal is all about, you know, sports review journal. I talk to the VIPs, I mean, not VIPs, but VPs of these companies, because guess what? They got to take my call. The worst case they can say is what? No, I can move on from that. You know, matter of fact, I was going to talk about Candace Parker. I pulled up an old ESPN book. You know, it says, how big can Candace Parker get? This is, what date is this? This is March 23rd, 2009. Two-year-old ESPN, when she's on the cover and she's pregnant. Look at this, hot and sexy. Woo! Man, if I was just 20 years younger. But anyway, but she's 6'4". I'm only 5'10 and a half, so she would tower me in some heels. But anyway, that is a great article in there. And it talks about women's sports and why it's not going to go, you know, here or there and everywhere. You know, it talks about selling out, and most women have to sell sex as athletes and not just being an athlete. It talks about, you know, women getting pregnant and how that affects the bottom line for sponsors and endorsements. You got to educate yourself. You have to educate yourself. And like I said, what's the price that you're willing to spend on your education? Be it street knowledge, be it book knowledge, or be it, you know, school knowledge. You got to spend the money. If you go in my office, I got every business book you can even come up with, how to start a business, how to run a business, corporations, you know, non-corps, you know, marketing books. You know, my inspiration was, you know, the guy that made $1 million off of selling pet rocks by putting a little eyeballs and a little fluffy thing on the back and calling it a pet rock and made millions of dollars off of it. The Rubik's Cube. All these little inventions, that's what fascinated me as a youngster. I never wanted to play NFL football. I wanted to be the one signing checks. You know what I'm saying? So that's my drive. That's my motivation. And I see opportunities here in women's football. I truly do. But 99% of us don't see opportunities. We just see the game itself. That's what's going on. The women just see the game itself. We don't have enough business heads in here that can knock down doors and make it happen. You know, that's my middle name is Make It Happen, Dion Fleet Lee, Make It Happen. You know, by any means. You know, this show, I didn't even realize I did 90, this is my 97th show until last week. I just talk every Monday. And it's not one show that is a repeat of the same show. That means I got a lot of things to talk about, and I still got more to talk about. If you're willing to call in, do the things that you do, it's easy. It's cake. You know, German chocolate cake. But anyway, like I said, I am rambling and rumbling. And like I said, this was a great show. And, again, I want to thank the callers that called in. And, again, the more the merrier. The more people listening, the more we can get done, the more knowledge that we can spill. So, BJ, there it is. Hit that music, baby. Woo, my super-duper producer be on it. She know when I'm wrapping it up. But, yeah, this is your boy, Coach Lee, in the place to be each and every Monday night. Yo, hey, Facebook your friends. Facebook your teammates. Facebook your coaches. Facebook your owners. Facebook your fans. Let them know that I talk the real deal Holyfield right up here each and every Monday night, 7 p.m. West Coast time, 10 p.m. East Coast time. And I'm just dropping knowledge, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So, again, if you need to reach me, hit me at the Ning board. That's womenstacklefootballgroup.ning.com. Hit me at Las Vegas Showgirls at yahoo.com. It don't matter. Hit me on Facebook at Dion Lee or Dion A. Lee. I even forgot. I got two Facebooks. I'm a Gemini. You know what I'm saying? Gemini's got two faces. But anyway, y'all, thanks for tuning in. I'll catch y'all a little bit later. Got to go home. Got to eat and go check out my Lakers. Peace.
Respect been given. How's your living? Now I can't protect. I paid off.